They'd only stopped when Violet, who'd insisted on playing the part of a court jester, had collapsed onto a pile of old quilts in the corner of the attic and closed her eyes for only just a moment. Looking toward the mountain of calico and gingham fabric, Anne saw that Violet was still wearing the tattered cloak, which looked comically large now that she'd turned back into a young girl. A soft snore echoed against the rafters, and Anne turned to see Beatrix curled up on a tufted pillow next to a shelf of books. Her hands were still wrapped loosely around the corners of a fairy tale collection that their mother had tucked to the very back of the stack, because she didn't want her daughters to think they were destined to grow warts on their noses like the witches who glared at them from the colorful illustrations. Yawning, Anne started to ease back into the worn curtains that served as her makeshift bed, but the flavor of cinnamon returned, so strong this time that she nearly sneezed. Something was amiss. As quietly as she could, Anne rose from her velvet cocoon and tiptoed toward the spiral staircase across the room. Violet and Beatrix didn't appear to sense anything, but that didn't surprise Anne. She was always the first of the three who felt a shiver crawl up her spine just before someone dropped a porcelain cup, or heard a popping noise in her ears when a friend whispered a secret that wasn't theirs to share. Violet and Beatrix weren't usually far behind, but the sisters were so often in step when it came to everything else that this slight discrepancy had caused poor Anne quite a bit of concern. She'd only managed to push her fears to the back of her mind when their mother had pulled her aside and given her hands a reassuring squeeze. "You each have your own special talents," her mother had whispered with a smile as she let Anne lick the spoon that she was using to stir a bowl of Black Forest cake batter. Now, whenever Violet took a second too long to recognize a new sign during their tea reading lessons, or Beatrix stepped over a ladybug that would have given her a dose of luck had she taken the time to wish her a good day, Anne remembered the rich taste of chocolate and her mother's soft words. Stifling another yawn, Anne extended one of her short, stubby legs out into the darkness, expecting it to land firmly on the ground. But she was on a different flight of stairs now, the ones that would take her from the second floor to the first, and had forgotten that the final step was a bit steeper than the rest. The house, which had been keeping a watchful eye on Anne since she slipped away from the attic, was ready to catch her when she stumbled. The floor instantly rose to meet her, preventing Anne from falling and hitting her knee against the hard wooden boards. As she straightened herself, she could feel the railing move closer to her hand as well, radiating like a nanny who'd managed to avert disaster at the last moment, but was still recovering from the shock of what might have been. Patting her small hand against the wall, Anne tried her best to reassure the house that she was unharmed. It was protective, and Anne felt a twinge of guilt that she'd frightened the walls so abruptly out of their slumber when she and her sisters had no doubt kept them awake with their play-acting upstairs. Soft fur brushed across Anne's calf then, and she looked down to find a pair of bright green eyes staring up at her. Anne leaned forward to run a hand along the cat's spine, but before she could sink her fingers into Tabitha's inky black coat, she scampered away toward the sliver of light that was peeking around the outline of the door that led to the kitchen. Anne nearly ran to catch the cat as she trotted closer to the light, but a sudden tingling along her spine told her to pause before the sound of her footsteps could echo down the hall.
"Clara, you don't know what you're asking," a voice said.
The words were strained and somewhat muffled by the door, but it took Anne no more than a heartbeat to recognize who had spoken them. What was Miss McCulloch doing here so late at night? She normally came to visit their mother in the early afternoon, when the two of them could talk for several hours over a pot of tea and several scones bursting with clotted cream and raspberry jam. Though other witches sometimes came to call, Miss McCulloch's visits were the only ones that didn't cause Anne's mother's shoulder blades to pinch together, as if she was bracing herself for a sudden blow,